everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing the show. On the other side of the glass, midweek edition. It's Wednesday. It's an important day here in Arizona. It's October 7th. This is the first day, Tom, for early voting in the state of Arizona. And already I saw a shot on Facebook, a picture. People were lined up for when the doors opened at downtown to vote. So there is, needless to say, tremendous interest in this election.
So people would have expected to receive their mail-in
ballot they would
by
then,
now?
They would get them as they checked in. I don't know how it worked, but the folks were lined up and ready to vote today. We are bringing people together, Tom, in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios. The good news, Tom, it's supposed to cool down a little bit, even mid-50s for the morning lows early next week. Here's the bad news, though. Good old Mr. High Pressure that's been hanging around, bugging all of us all summer and now into the fall.
And keeping the temperatures up.
Keeping the temperature is going to move back into the area toward the end of next week with temperatures pushing a really unheard of 100 degrees this late into October.
Well, who can blame him? He likes Arizona.
All right. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the Ward 6 Tucson City Councilman Steve Kosacek. Steve, how are you?
Doing pretty well, and it is nice early in the mornings right now. It's almost two T-shirt weather, but not quite.
Yeah, are you out there running at about, what, 6 o'clock?
About 5:30. It's still dark out, and that's kind of how I like it. It's nice, and by the time I finish, it's starting to warm up. So it's good running weather.
Interest in this election, almost off the charts, Steve, as you heard me talking about. People were lined up and ready to go when the recorder's office opened this morning.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. You know, it's a all mail-in ballot election, but for people to be lining up, you know, before the doors even open is pretty amazing. But, you know, I mean, it's a sign of the times we're living in. We've got some, I don't know if you watched the I guess they call it a debate from a week or so ago with Trump and Biden. That was, to me, that was I have to admit, I sat and watched the thing. It looked like a 90-minute long Saturday Night Live skit to me, and that's the best I can give it. But so tonight we have, Harris and Pence, and last night we had Mark Kelly and Martha McSally. So it's really gearing up, and, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Steve, a lot of the town folks are concerned about 2,500 more students joining the 6,200 of their peers who have already been attending in-person classes at the U of A. Your thoughts, please.
Well, the university president and Dr. Carmona hold a weekly press briefing, and on last Monday, a couple of days ago, they were talking about how the infection numbers had gone down significantly on campus, and I'm sure that's true, that they have gone down on campus. But those are the operative words, because what's not happening is significant testing happening in the towers surrounding the campus. Pima County Health put out a new health portal on Monday or Tuesday of this week. And you can kind of cruise through that portal and identify infection rates by census tract and by zip code. The census tract with the highest, by far, number of infections is the one immediately surrounding the university. I've been down with some testing with a lab, doing some testing in the towers around campus, and the most recent time we were down there was two weekends ago. It was the end of last week. And the students were, they're being very honest. They were simply saying, you know what, we are not testing anymore because we consider this punitive. We don't want to have to isolate if we test positive. We would rather take the chances of being positive knowing that COVID will likely not have a significant impact on them that they know of. Students are not participating in the testing at this point. There is still partying going on. President Robbins identified some, I think it was 15 different parties that were going on in the last 10 days around campus. Some of the Greek houses, fraternities, and sororities have had to self-isolate because they've had numbers north of 50% positive. So we have a significant problem around campus. Those students, if they travel onto campus, are going to bring the virus with them, and that's what viruses do. They don't check out when you cross the boundary of campus. Similarly, they don't check out when you walk into a Safeway or a CVS or Walgreens. So my concern is that with the students now not testing off campus and the university not compelling that, that we're right on the precipice for another surge. You don't know what you don't know, of course, but the impact on vulnerable populations and the people that these students may be bumping into physically, figuratively, in a Safeway or wherever, can put those people in a hospital or on a ventilator. Yesterday at the council meeting, I brought this up, and I asked the council to agree to adopt a resolution that we will present to the university that says we want you to, in the same way that they tested all students before they moved into on-campus dorms, that we want you to make it a condition of participating in classes and receiving your grades that you test and present the university with the negative result. There are still 8 weeks left before the break, and my sense is that by requiring testing, we will achieve three things. First of all, we'll identify the positives, which will give Pima County Health the opportunity to facilitate contact tracing so they can then quarantine the kids, the people that the positives have been in touch with. It also helps us to control the community spread that I'm really concerned about. And also importantly, is the U of A is going to end their semester right at Thanksgiving, and the kids are going to go home. They'll do the rest of their classes virtually and not come back till January. We don't want to be putting sick kids on airplanes to fly back to California or Colorado or Texas or wherever. So we'll have that resolution in hand for the next council meeting. Hopefully the university takes it to heart and reaches out to students and says, if you want to finish the semester, you need a test. You need a test now.
How hard would it be for the university to say right now you will not be going into face-to-face classes until you produce a test that shows you are negative? That seems just like common sense, Steve Kasachek.
It's exactly what I want them to do. And not only face-to-face, but even virtually. And the reason I would extend it to taking virtual classes is because those kids are still out in the community. And I'm quite honestly, I am not as concerned on the students' behalf because they're 18 to 22-year-old kids.
Right.
They're not going to wind up on a ventilator,
right,
likely. But they are a function of community spread, and that's what I'm concerned about. So I believe it's the responsible thing to do for the U of A to say to all students, irrespective of whether they're living in on campus or off campus, that before you continue to participate in your classwork, you need to test negative.
Well, there's something else here, Steve Kasachek. They'll be getting on planes, like you said, but what about the rest of us who would like to share a Thanksgiving with our families and not have to worry about this thing?
Right. And that's the point. So the students attending the university, so there are about 5,000 students who are living in on-campus dorms. There are about 30,000 who are living and participating in campus activities who are living off-campus. And Pima County Health has run hundreds and hundreds of tests, and they are finding very high positivity rates in off-campus private apartment complexes and the Greek houses. So we know what's happening, And for the students to simply say, we're not taking tests anymore because we don't want to isolate, is irresponsible. And I would extend that to the U of A as well. They need to be testing students who are living and mingling out in the community, or we're going to see this spread again.
So this will come up for the resolution is being drafted, and it will come up at the next council meeting?
Yes, we have Mike Rankin, city attorney, drafting the resolution. But quite honestly, you know, I hope that you know, through your show and other media outlets, that it gets out there, and the U of A doesn't wait for 2 weeks. That's the next time we meet. They can implement this immediately. They have some logistics to work out. You know, how are we going to do the testing? But they've got testing pop-up sites in the North Rec Center. They can contact Pima County. Pima County Health would absolutely jump in and help to facilitate this. So the logistics are there. It's just a matter of having the will to do it.
All right. How about some good news, Steve Kasachek? We are so delighted to have Mona's Danish Bakery is back with us.
Well, good. So it's about that time of day, right?
Yes, it is.
Glucose levels and all that stuff.
Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is open right now for lunch. They open the doors at 6:30 a.m. for breakfast. So it's breakfast, lunch, and they have indoor, some limited indoor, but they've got some beautiful patio dining as well. And they would be delighted to take your online order or do a pickup. All of that is welcome. They will do it any way you would like in a very safe manner. And yes, everybody is masked up over there when they go into Mona's. Mona's is open Monday to Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sundays 7 to 2. I will see you there. I'm usually around there on the weekends for sure. Mona's northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back with Steve Kasachek in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios. Guests appear on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, Ward Number 6, is with us on the Live Line right now. I know
that. Something real quick.
Yes.
While we were going through the sitting through the ads, you have some really loyal advertisers. They've been with you through this pandemic. They've been with you for years, and good for you for keeping them in there, and good for them for hanging in there with you. I just wanted to say that because, you know, you've got Mona's, you've got the rescue center. You've got a very similar menu of folks each week.
The Better Business Bureau,
exactly.
the RTA. I mean,
yeah.
It goes on and on. These have been people that some of these, Steve Kasachek, thank you, by the way, for bringing this up, very unsolicited. But I'm so proud of this group, Steve, because many of them are legacy sponsors like Vero Amore and Noble Hops, who were with us since pretty much day one. And that day one, Steve, goes back to the first week of January of 2011, and the interview we did on that Thursday of that week was Gabrielle Gifford's last interview before the horrible assassination attempt. So these people have been with me. We're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of this program, and the only reason I'm able to do this program, Steve, is that these people have been with me.
Right, exactly, and that's why we thought it was important to just to make mention of it, because they've been loyal, and it's not like they're rolling in cash these days. You know, they're doing cut back business, outdoor dining, pick up and take away. So, anyway, as you were running through the ads during the break, it just occurred to me that these guys have really been with you, and been loyal. So, and you know, quite frankly, they wouldn't have been with you have you not been putting on a quality show for the last decade. So, good
thank
for you.
Thank you very much. All right. I know Mr. Ortega has his hands full, the city manager. He crunches the numbers every month. This is a budget that really is a moving target, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We're gonna be looking at monthly adjustments and all through the fiscal year. And so we're going to have to be light on our feet. We don't know where the revenues are going to go up or down, and a lot of that's going to change in November, next month after the election. Donald Trump said something yesterday that he was going to break off negotiations on another aid package, and the stock market plummeted. So all of this is in flux. We are looking at one sort of in the weeds, so I won't go too deeply into the weeds with it, but one really potentially important idea, and that is to take out debt on paying off our public safety pension obligations. Right now, if you extend our obligation for public safety pension out for 25 years, it's $1.5 billion. That's not something that the city council laid on our own table. It's a function of the state legislation that funds public safety pensions, but we pay the bill. And right now we're paying between $70 and $80 million a year to fund our obligations. So we're talking about some creative ways to fund that, but it plays into the question or the point that you made, and that is that this is going to be a challenging budget year, and we're going to have to think of creative ways to do the financing and to stay on our feet, because we have obligations that, quite frankly, we're not going to, we're not on the verge of insolvency, but we are in a very uncertain time, and nobody can predict what's going to happen next week, much less next month or 2 months from now.
How is downtown doing? We've got some restaurants that did decide to reopen around October 1st. What are you hearing?
So I am so glad that that's where you went with this, because we are right now on October 1st. the Downtown Tucson Partnership. I know you've had Kathleen Erickson on before.
Mm-hmm.
She runs the DTP. They have been working really closely with the Pima County Health Department to do a grand reopening, and it happened on October 1st and continues to happen. What people will see when they go downtown is an emblem in businesses' windows, and it's an emblem that says "Ready for You" on it, and it's got the Pima County Health Department logo on it and the DTP logo. And what that means is that every business that you see with that emblem on it has been has gone through all the protocols that Pima County Health has put out. They've cut back the number in cases of restaurants. They've cut back the number of indoor dining. They've got some outdoor dining now available. All as you mentioned about Mona's, you know, the attendants are all masked up, and so they have checked all the boxes from Pima County Health, and so they are you know safe to enter and safe to participate in. We've also set aside some on-street parking that is specifically for people to park in temporarily to go down and pick up their takeout meals. I've been working with the city manager's office to facilitate outdoor dining options for several of the restaurants in the downtown core. So it is up and running. And more than just up and running, though, Pima County worked with the merchants and put over $300,000 into working with the DTP to help the businesses get ready, buy tables and chairs for outdoor dining, and help with PPE for the employees. So kudos to Kathleen and the DTP and also to the Pima County Health folks who really have stepped up and given us this opportunity to do a gradual grand reopening of downtown.
And this is our coming up on what will be a beautiful winter, and hopefully we'll have a lovely fall here in a couple of weeks. So this is the kind of weather that people will feel very comfortable in an outdoor setting.
Exactly. And, you know, we did a little memorial service over in Himmel Park a couple of nights ago. We started at about 6 o'clock, and it was nice. You know, people were sitting on blankets, and it was cooling off nicely. And so the same is true if you're sitting outdoors and dining. And I would add that we are doing a very similar thing. I sat down with Pima County and the Fourth Avenue merchants, and they're doing very similar things on the avenue now as well. So a lot of options for people to get out. And I totally understand people don't want to sit inside a dining room right now, and that's why these outdoors options are so important to have.
What's your gut feeling? We're all reevaluating our lives since March. What's your gut feeling on when things will, I even hesitate to say, look a little, maybe a little bit like normal? What are you thinking? What's running through your mind, Steve Kasachek?
My biggest concern is the irresponsible behavior that's happening, quite honestly, back to this again, around campus. When we see parties that are happening with 100-plus students, knowing that those students are going to be out in the community, knowing that we have a flu season ahead of us, everybody please get your flu shot, knowing that campus is reopening again in a small way, but all the students, the 30,000 students who are living around campus are out in the community, and we know there's a high infection rate. So my concern is while we have businesses doing it right, we have Pima County Health stepping up, doing it right, we have certain cohorts of people who continue to demonstrate irresponsible behavior, and I just would hate to see that put us back behind the eight ball again. It would just be terrible if the numbers shot up again once flu season hit. We had that dual-demic that people are talking about, and businesses had to shut down again. That would be the end for a lot of them. So, again, to the students, to the people living around campus who are participating in these activities, think about somebody other than yourself. There are a lot of people affected by your behavior.
I'm glad you brought up the flu shot. I've had mine. The good news, what I'm hearing from Some of the pharmacists I've talked to, Steve, there's people in my age group, the older folks, are doing what they call the flu zone shot. And there's actually been some sort of spotty outages on that, and that don't last long. They may be out of it for a couple of days. But that tells me that people are really taking this flu season serious.
And that's good. And you know what? To end on a positive note, maybe because people are masking up already because of corona virus and because they're getting flu shots and they're socially distancing, maybe we'll dodge that bullet and maybe this flu season will not be as bad as it otherwise might have been because many of us are already doing the right things.
And that is the case. It happened in Argentina, Chile, Australia, having a milder flu season. A lot of the credit, they say, and I agree, goes to folks wearing masks. Steve Kasacek, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. I always appreciate being on.
Thank you very much, Steve Kasacek, with his monthly visit to the Buckmaster Show. When we continue in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, we continue with our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series. Dr. Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisorial candidate, will join us in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on the live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures Property and Real Estate. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green things, so many things that would look so beautiful in your garden. Everybody's saying, what should I put in the garden now that many of the plants just succumbed to the record-breaking heat this summer? Well, the folks at Green Things, one of the things that makes that operations so successful. You go in with a question, you're going to come away with an answer, and you will have what is best for your garden. 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. They also have on the 13-acre site not only the amazing plants, but the amazing handmade furniture over at Zocalo Village, which really has a great collection of Talavera pottery as well. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Live Line, we will now utilize it by going to visit with Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, Democrat, Pima County Supervisorial Candidate in District Number 2. He is an attending physician at the Tucson Medical Center. He has been there since 2003. He was elected in 2008 to the Arizona State House, where he served two terms. He served as the director for provider of outreach in the office of the secretary at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. That was in 2013 and through March of 2015. Matt joins us now. Dr. Hines, how are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me on.
Matt, so many folks are concerned with, we just had Steve Kasachek talking about this really hot zone over at the University of Arizona with positive cases. Are you as concerned as the councilman?
Certainly. And Steve's great. He's been doing a wonderful job following this really closely, along with I think all the council and Mayor Romero. I appreciate their efforts, and of course our health department, the Pima County Health Department, to working really hard to address this. But we've got to bring the positivity rate down. We've got to get more testing. And truly, we have got to stress that, putting on those masks, social distancing, it's really not an option if we ever want to see things reopen and get back to business as usual ever, because until we have a curative therapy or ideally a viable, safe vaccine that we can distribute, which probably is 6 to 8 months out, if not more.
You think 6 to 8 months where realistically most of the people in the country would have access? Is that what you're saying? Not just like an initial maybe healthcare workers and some of the most vulnerable people, but where the mass of population will have the choice to be get the vaccine?
Exactly. I should say that, I'm sure our EMS folks and our firefighters and a frontline healthcare workers, I probably will be, in that category as well. Nurses in hospitals and nursing homes and such will of course, if we have a vaccine the FDA is able to approve based on all their safety protocols before the end of the year, I imagine that the first, several million will go to those folks who are most in danger and most at risk, who are fighting the virus on the front lines, which makes sense, of course. And then after that, there will be a system, and those who are most at risk with underlying medical conditions or age-related or various other things that put them at high risk will be the most vulnerable. We'll want to get those vaccines as soon as possible. But we're not going to have 600 and what would that be? Because most of these require two doses 30 days apart, the ones that are under investigation. So we're certainly not going to have, 650-something million vials just, ready to go at the end of December. That's going to be a process throughout the first probably quarter one, quarter two of 2021.
We're speaking with Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, your campaign obviously resonated with Democrats in the primary as you beat Ramon Valdez, the sitting chair and longtime member of the Board of Supervisors in District 2. What is that? Why did this campaign resonate with so many people?
I really do think it's timing, as I think that is in a lot of ways in the political world. But I was very, very late to get into this race, and frankly hadn't really even contemplated running for anything this particular cycle. But then as I started treating patients in the hospital and seeing COVID myself and seeing, like, kind of projecting, no federal response, no state response, but not an adequate one, at least in my opinion, we could be in big trouble. And our county and local officials are truly the last best hope of our community to make sure that they get the best advice, the most accurate advice, that they understand what to do, what not to do, pass certain regulations, of course. I felt that my background in medicine and, of course, my work on the front lines with COVID would help me to inform decisions of the board going forward as we navigate the pandemic together. And, I think that the voters, I think, responded to that health and wellness related messaging. And at this time of the pandemic, I think it was just a good fit. And I think the district, that's why we saw the results that we did. And I will say that Ramon has been absolutely very, very gracious and helpful and working with me very, very closely, nothing acrimonious whatsoever. And he's been very kind and giving of his time in terms of his willingness to help with this transition. So it's been a very positive experience.
How has the response been, do you think, of this current board to the crisis?
Good. It has been good. I don't think anybody would have expected such an absence of a national federal response or delay of funding or states. You know, there should be a national mask mandate. It shouldn't be down to the county level or the city level. Not really knowing that we would have such a lack of, just not really taking this seriously. And with the president contradicting the CDC and all the over-politicization and all that, I think that the board did well. I think we can, going forward, I think we can probably be a little bit more proactive in some cases. And now that we know sort of what we're dealing with, we can anticipate things a bit better. And we can, I think, be even more efficient and proactive at getting things done and issuing, if needed, more guidance and regulations going forward and helping the health department to do their job for us.
All right. Before we wrap it up, where can people find out more? Direct folks to your website.
Sure. It's HeinzForSupervisor.com. That's all spelled out. And they can get more information about me. They can, of course, donate if they wish, or just call the campaign, email the campaign with questions, and we're happy to respond.
As I recall, and I interviewed you many times on TV and radio, when you were elected to the House, health care was a big priority there, wasn't it?
It was. It was one of them. And this is, I kind of intertwine, with not only healthcare and the pandemic, but the pandemic-induced economic downturn and helping this, in particular, this district, which has been very hard hit, come out the other side of the pandemic and working to make sure people are going to be able to find jobs and pay for their food and their shelter and take care of their families and do what they need to do. So I think there's a lot of it's all kind of tied together. But yeah, that was part of it.
All right, Dr. Matt Heinz, thank you very much. Nice talking with you.
You as well, Bill. You have a good one.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Matt Heinz, yeah. Our interview with Dr. Heinz, along with all of our candidate interviews, plus the interviews that have been done on Zach's show, Tipping Point, 9 to 10 each weekday, Wake Up Tucson, those political interviews as well, all are archived at kvoi.com, which is real nice because you can go to that site and you'll hear an interview with the candidates. If I don't get to all of the candidates on my show, which I'm not going to be able to do just because I've got an hour and the morning show's got three, so they're going to have some people on their program and Zach will have some that are not on this program. So chances are your candidate will be covered over at kvoi.com. Coming up next, another Pima County supervisorial candidate, this time in District 3, Republican Gabby Mercer joins us right after this.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They have just been such a loyal partner. We were talking earlier with Steve Kosacek, Tucson City Councilman, about the great, some of them legacy sponsors that we've had on this program. And Silver City's been right there since the beginning. We have sent so many people over to that beautiful area of the Southwest United States. And a lot of people are just itching to get back. They want to get in the car and go over there. Well, we're waiting for New Mexico to officially open to out-of-state visitors, but there is nothing that would stop you from going and starting your planning right now at southwestnewmexico.org. And that will tempt you with great places to stay and so many things to do. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line as we continue with our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series. Gabby Mercer, Pima County supervisorial candidate in District 3, Republican, with us on the line. Gabby, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Real good. I know you have been very busy. Today is the first day of voting here in Arizona. Are you feeling good about this campaign?
Absolutely. Working very hard to get my message out and get people to get out and vote.
Why did you decide to challenge longtime Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson in District Number 3?
Well, my campaign is very, very simple, Bill. For the last 24 years, the incumbent has failed Pima County residents. Our roads are worse than ever. When we have had the money, Pima County has had the money to fix the roads, and it hasn't happened. And the last 20 years, Pima County receives about an average of $86 million from fiscal year 2008 to 2018 in the form of HERF and VLT tax that comes back to Pima County. And Pima County decides to use this money on everything else except to fix our roads. And we must restrict those funds for road repairs. That's what it is. HERF money is the tax that you pay when you go to the gas station and fill up your tank. And VLT is the tax that we pay to register our vehicles. And all of that money comes back to Pima County, and it doesn't get spent on what it's supposed to be, which is roads.
Do you have a plan to fix our roads?
I do. You know, we need to have an inventory and ratings of all the roads. You know, Pima County has 2,000 miles of roads that are unincorporated areas of Pima County. And that's the responsibility of the board. We have to have a five-year plan, and we have to have a one-year plan for the annual budget. We need to schedule road repairs annually, what type of repairs and the type and the cost. You know, we need to have everything transparent there because we have the money, and that's the problem that most people don't understand. How come our roads are not fixed? I'm paying my taxes. How come my roads are not fixed? Because of priorities, and we need to make it a priority.
In your profession, are you out on the roads quite a bit?
Yes. I actually, to supplement my income, I go out and drive for Uber and Lyft. And to be honest, it's very embarrassing when, especially during the gem show, you know, you drive people from all over the world. And I had to apologize for the condition of our roads. It's embarrassing and it's unacceptable.
Do your
As a taxpayer, it's unacceptable.
Do your clients remark about the roads as they're sitting in the back seat?
Sometimes they say, "Ooh, that was a good one." Whenever I miss a big hole in the road, I say, "Whoa, that was a good one."
Oh boy!
It's funny, but it's not.
Yeah. What else is on your platform?
Public safety. You know, with what's going on in all over the country, with defunding the police. You know, that is such an insane thing that people want to defund the police. How in the world, you know, how in the world can they even think of such thing? Law enforcement, we pay for safety. We pay for our taxpayers supposed to go to pay for police and fire, et cetera, et cetera. And when we defund those services, what's going to happen? I mean, is the government telling me you're on your own? You can, you know, grab your own guns and start shooting at people when you feel threatened? I don't think that's the way our society is supposed to go. And I'm talking specifically about a Stone Garden grant. That is money that the federal government puts on the table for Pima County to say, hey, we'll take that money because it helps our sheriff's department to work in conjunction with Border Patrol. We have hundreds of people, migrants, dying on the desert because Pima County sheriff cannot help Border Patrol. Patrolling the areas where these people.
So you're saying you would not leave any Stone Garden money on the table.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's free money. You know, who says no to free money?
All right, Gabby, we're going to have to wrap it up. What is your website?
VoteGabby2020.com.
How is it?
And people can see. I'm sorry?
I was saying, how are you campaigning in these crazy times?
I am knocking on doors, getting my message out there, driving people to my website. They can see everything that I have uncovered, you know, regarding corporate welfare, the ideas that I have to be more transparent, fix our roads. I have a special page showing the failures of my opponent. And it's not things that I have made up. It's things that anybody can get their hands on. It's documented. It's public documents that anybody can look at.
All right. Gabby Mercer, thank you very much. We're going to have to wrap it up right there. Again, your website is VoteGabby2020. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Gabby Mercer running in District 3, Republican Pima County Supervisor. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I am Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow. We have a jam-packed show tomorrow. We'll see how much content we can put in an hour for sure. Have a great afternoon, everybody.